Thank you, thank you. Thank you so much, praise and worship team. Weren't they wonderful? Everybody happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Okay, I know some more people have walked in, so I'm going to welcome the guests. So thank you for all those that have just walked in. Thank you for coming to spend time with our King. I'm just going to introduce you to our leaders for those who weren't here yesterday. So over here, the host of our event, we've got our music coordinator, Cleon. Amen. And on the second row here, we've got Deacon Russell and Deaconess Smith. Give them a hand and clap offering. Also, there's the pastor of this church and his wife. They're not in this room at the moment. There's also, where's my auntie? There's my auntie here, Auntie Cassie, who is the praise and worship leader. Let's give her a hand and clap. And also, I'm the youth minister as well, so I talk to young people. I do talk to older people as well, but I talk to younger people as well. And also, I don't know if they're here yet, but we do have some kitchen staff as well. We've got like Sister Joan. I don't know if they can hear me. So, and at the back, we've got a lay minister, Sister Nashville. If you just give us a little wave. She does everything as well. Okay. Now, without further ado, before I keep going on, I'd like you to stand up and just greet each other and just say, to each person you greet, just say, you're more than a conqueror. So let's greet each other in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. So now we're going to look at some examples of fear. I'm going to start with Gideon. So if someone can turn to Judges 6, and if I can have it up on the screen also, please. Judges 6, starting from verse 1. And just say amen when you're there. Amen. Ben, do you want to read for me? Yeah. Are we recording?
Okay, Judges chapter 6, verse 1. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Okay. Because of the power of the Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in the mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. When the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and the other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkey. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them in their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Impoverished, the Israelites, that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of the oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you the land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord, your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live,' but you have not listened to me." Verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, that belonged to Joash the Abizite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it in the Midianites. Verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Why are all his wonders that occur that ancestors told us about when they said, okay.
So we see, I made Ren read the beginning of it so that we could get the backstory to what's happened. So the children of Israel, they've turned away from God, and as a result, he's allowed the Midianites to oppress them. He's allowed this to happen. And when God came to Gideon, Gideon straight away responded with the credentials or the mountain of what he could see. Amen. And sometimes we can do that. We hear a word, we hear a prophecy, and automatically we've got the answer. Or we've got a negative response. We've got the response of what we can see with our eyes, with our earthly eyes. We've got the response that we can see, this is not going right, you know. This is not going right, that's not going right, so-and-so, I don't have enough money. We've got all the answers before God's even, you know, finished what he's saying. We've got the answers, and it's negative answers. Amen. Continue, Ben.
I'll start from verse 13 again. So 6 verse 13, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring you up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of the Midian. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family.
Amen. So once again, Gideon has the court case. He has the court case. He has the reason why God can't use him. And that's what we do. Again, we have the reason why God can't use us. You know, my clan is the weakest. I'm not good at speaking. So if God gives you a vision, or God tells you this is what you need to do, automatically you start thinking about what everyone else is going to think of me. So in Gideon's mind, maybe he was thinking, I'm the weakest of the whole of Israel. I'm the weakest. So if God chooses me, people are going to say, oh, what Gideon thinking I do? They're going to think, where's he going? They're going to think, where's him from the least of Israel? Not Judah, not the other tribes. He's going to think, where does he think he's going? Like when they saw David, David stood up and said, you know, who's this uncircumcised Philistine talking about my God? What do you mean? And everybody else was hiding. And when they saw him, they said, what's going on? Yeah, who is he? But what they didn't know is that he knew that God was with him. Amen. He knew that God was with him. And that's what we need to remember. We hear this. We know this, we go off in church and we know these things, but when it comes to it, when something happens in our life, we quickly forget what we know. Gideon grew up as a Jew, yeah? So he would have known all what God has done. He would have known all what God had done, what God had done to Pharaoh, what God had done, the plagues, everything, because they would have passed it down. They would have passed it down, so they would have known about these stories. They would have known that God is able. They would have known. They would have known that if God's on your side, guess what? You're going to win. Guess what? You're a conqueror. Guess what? You're going to win. I'll say it again, church. Guess what? You're a conqueror. You're an overcomer through Christ. It doesn't matter if you're the least of the clan. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what she says or he says. What are you trying? He says, you're a conqueror. And guess what? If he says, I've sent you, God said to Gideon, have I not sent you? Like, you know, Are you listening to me? Like, I've just sent you, and I'm God. Like, I'm God, and I've just sent you, and you're still coming up with court case and reasons why. Reasons why, a good CV and a good court case as to why you can't go. So that means that you don't really believe in me, but yet you've heard of the stories. He was just quoting stories and telling everyone about what God's done, but now he's now changed it and said, you know what? What I can see, it looks too big for me. It looks too big for me. And if God be God, let him be God in your life. Let him be God against your problems. Talk to your problems. We had fasting, and I said in the fasting, speak the word. Speak the word to your mountain. Don't give your mountain a good CV and let everybody know how bad your problems is. Guess what? My problems may be bad, but my God is bigger. My problems may be worse, but my God is bigger. My God is bigger, and I'm coming from somewhere. I know that my God is bigger. Amen? Amen. So we see that Gideon was trying to talk himself out of doing it. Gideon was trying to talk God out of doing it. Gideon was trying to talk him out of being used. And we do this. We do this. But what we need to remember is that if God sends you, it's a finished. It's a done deal. It's over. I'm just going to get some. I'm preaching to myself, church. That's what it is. Preaching to myself. Oof. Amen. So, we give you praise, God. We give you praise. He will come through. He will come through. And he said, have I not sent you? And that's a question for us. Have I not sent you? Have I not given you my word? Have I not said, the just shall live by faith? Have I not said, the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. Have I not said these things? But if I've said these things, do we live like he said these things? Or do we take the word, and as soon as we go home, something comes up and we've forgotten that word? We let the enemy steal the word. We let the enemy steal the word before we've even had our Sunday dinner. We're going home and talking in doubt. We're talking in doubt when we just said that Jesus is my shepherd. We just said that the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. So now we're going to look at Exodus 4, starting from verse 10. Can I have it up on the screen again, please? We'll start from verse... Exodus 4:10. Say amen when you're there. Amen. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent either, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am of slow speech and of slow tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth?" Amen. The Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with you. And I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." Moses again with the court case. But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whoever else you may send." So he wants someone else to go. "Don't send me. Please don't send me because, you know, you just don't get it. I've heard what you said, but you just don't get it. You just don't understand." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you." Amen. "When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth." Amen. Double portion. There's no room for mistakes. There's no room for mistakes. "And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you. And you shall be to him as God, and you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs." Amen. So sometimes we need a pep talk from God. Sometimes we're very good at saying that, you know, we can't do it. But that's not the mind of a conqueror. Amen. We need to conquer this fear. We need to conquer this fear that says that I can't do it because of what, you know, he's looking at me. So God tells me to go and encourage Alex about this issue that he's going through in his life. And I look at Patrick and I say, no, because he's going to see what I'm doing and he's going to, you know, I'm afraid of their faces. And God said, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. So As a result, I don't do what I'm supposed to do. And there was something that I was supposed to encourage Alex about, which from my encouragement, just the way that I said it, that God led me to say it, would help him and his family to come back to church. Let's just say that would be an example. So sometimes you don't know the effect that you're going to have. And you don't know that when God's telling you to do something, you don't know the effect that it's going to have. You don't know because someone might need to hear what you need to say. Someone might need to hear that scripture that you need to say because they were just about to make a compromising decision. They were just about to change their mind. And you know what? Not go to prayer meeting. They were just about not to fast about that thing. They were just about to not fast about that thing and they're 2 inches from getting their breakthrough. So don't watch people's faces. Don't watch people's faces. I'm sure Moses was thinking, I'm going to go back to big Egypt because at that time, Egypt was like, you know, one of the biggest countries. It was, you know, the biggest place to be. And Pharaoh, they saw themselves as the God. I'm the God. I do what I want. And that's how it goes. I don't answer to anybody. So I'm sure he was thinking in his head, me to go back, for me to go back and to not request it, but to demand let God's people go. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. And in his head, he started thinking, he started getting scared, having fear about what people would say. I'm sure he was thinking, what is Pharaoh going to say? What's Pharaoh going to say? What's Pharaoh going to say? And that's what we do. We look at people's faces. We look at people's faces. God's told you to do something, and you look at what someone else is going to think about you, and because of that, you don't do it. When everybody was created for a reason, there's something in you that only you can do. Only you can do what you're supposed to do. Only you can do, Grandma, what you're supposed to do, what God's put in you. Only you can do, Dad, what God has put in you to do. And when God deposits the gift in you, he's giving it to you so that you can be a blessing to someone. Yeah, and he wants your style on it. He wants how you do it. He wants how you do it. So don't draw back. Don't give God a court case about why he can't use it. Because he knows the end from the beginning. He says that he's the Alpha and the Omega. So he knows all your shortcomings. He knows everything that you can't do. But guess what? His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Reverend, I'm going for it today. I'm going for it today. I'm not taking no prisoners. So I want you to take home the word and tomorrow go and talk to your mountains. Talk to your mountains and don't let the enemy steal the word before your Sunday dinner. Amen. 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 I'm going for it today. We're in the house of the Lord. I'm going for it today. Someone needs to hear this. Someone needs to hear that you can make it. Don't walk in fear. Conquer your fear. Amen. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by God's Spirit. And if God said he's with you, who can be against you? Amen, Grandma. And so now we're going to look at the effects of fear. Fear causes us to doubt God, as we've just seen in the two scriptures. Fear can cause us to magnify our mountain. Fear can cause us to take our focus off God. Like what Peter did, he started looking at everything else, the wind and the waves, and he took his eyes off Jesus. We can do that as well. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to distract you. You know that God's real, but when life happens, you get distracted. It takes your focus off God. You don't feel like how you did on Sunday. You see, and that's what he does. And if I change someone's focus, I change the direction that they're walking. Because we don't have eyes in the back of our head. I know that that's the same, but we don't. We don't. Some people may do, but we don't. So these are the things that we need to remember. The enemy's trying to take your focus. Problems, situations, life happens, and it tries to take our focus off God. Amen. Fear can cause us to doubt God. Fear can take our focus off God. Fear can paralyze us, as I was just saying. Fear can paralyze us so that we don't do what we're supposed to do. We don't do what God's told us to do. God's told you to do something. He's given you the gift. He's made the provision for the vision. And because of fear, because of what people are going to say, you decide to say, you know what, I'm not going to do it because I'm afraid of what people are going to think about me. I'm afraid of how it's going to look. Amen? That's what fear can do. Fear can kill dreams. Fear can kill dreams. I say, I was saying this to my auntie one time. I said, the graveyard is one of the richest places. You know why? Because people go to the grave with so many dreams, so many books that they didn't write, so many songs that they didn't finish. You name it, they go to the grave, and while you're alive, you have a chance to do what you can do, to do what God's putting you to do. So don't let fear stop you from going after your dreams. Don't let fear stop you from doing what God's called you to do. That gift that you have that you think, oh, I don't know. Go after it. Conquer your fear. Amen? Because we're more than a conqueror through Christ. We are a conqueror and we are an overcomer. And fear can make us ineffective in spiritual warfare. So if you have a soldier on the front line in Afghanistan or anywhere that you are, once they become scared, you know, they're ineffective. They're ineffective. God doesn't give us the armor so that we can be scared. You don't have a sword if you're scared. You have it to slice and dice some things and cut some strongholds down. So fear can make us ineffective in spiritual warfare. You pray and you say, Lord, please, and Heavenly Father, and in your heart, you're scared. Where's that prayer going to go? Where's that prayer going to go? You think that the principalities can't see that you're scared. That prayer is not going to go nowhere. That prayer is not going to go anywhere. You need to conquer that fear, brethren. You need to conquer that fear. You need to be strong in the Lord. Amen? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So now I've talked about what fear can do. We've talked about what fear is. Now we're going to talk about how we can conquer fear. Because this fear that we have, everyone has different fears, and it's very hard sometimes to conquer your fear. So I want to give you some practical ways, not just say, you know, don't fear, but give you some practical steps that you can actually walk out. Amen? Amen. So the first one, have you got your pens ready? Everyone got their pens ready? The first one is meditating on the word. Meditate on what God says about you. Don't meditate on what your problems say. Don't meditate on what someone says. Meditate on what God says about you. Amen? Meditate on the word. Proverbs 23, verse 7. So a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what are you thinking about? What are you meditating on? Because that's going to decide how you see yourself. Amen? Meditate on the word. Meditate on the word. Jeremiah, for I know the plans that I have. Meditate on that. Amen? Meditate on that. Don't meditate on your bank balance. Meditate on that. Amen? Amen. Got to be real. I told you, brethren, I'm going for it today. No, pretty. I'm going for it today. Go for it. Yes, Grandma, I received that. The next one is speak the word, as I talked about at our fasting. Speak the word. Change your confession. Declare what God has given you. Declare what God has said. Amen. Isaiah 55, God says, so shall my word be. That it's going to go forth, and when it goes forth, it's going to do what I sent it to do. And it can't go back to him void. So if you haven't done what he said, it can't come back. So we need to start speaking the word. We need to start using our sword of the spirit. We need to start using it. We need to start using it, and we need to start speaking it. Speak over your problems. The next time something happens, before you say, oh, my days, what are we going to do? Speak the word. Speak the word. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Speak the word. Speak the word. Change your confession. Because your tongue has power. So why are we coming to church and praising God and then going home and talking doubt and unbelief? Change your confession, brethren. And the third one is to get closer to God. 1 John 4, verse 18 says that perfect love casts out all fear. So the closer that you are to God, the closer that you get to God, the closer that you get intimate with God, you won't be scared. You won't be scared of life. You won't be scared when life happens. you won't be scared. Amen? You won't be scared. And Daniel 11, verse 32 says, those that know their God shall be strong and do mighty exploits. It doesn't say those that sing about their God. It says those that know their God. And you may know of a person, but you need to know God. So you may know of God, but you need to know God. And as Pastor Emmy says, God needs to know you. Amen. Amen. So if I say that I know someone, but they don't know me, then that means that I don't know them. We both have to know each other. Amen. We both have to know each other. So get close to God, because perfect love casts out all fear. And those that know their God will do great exploits. Amen. And to me, that sounds like someone who's conquering fear. Amen. And the fourth one is to make the choice to trust in God and walk by faith. Trust in God and walk by faith. If you read Hebrews 11, I believe, when it talks about Abraham and it talks about Sarah, all these people, they made a choice. They made a choice to walk by faith and not by sight. They made a choice to trust God. No matter what the situation looks like, I'm going to trust God. And I know that we hear that a lot, but we need to live it out. We need to live it out. If we want to conquer our fear, we need to live it out, brethren, because God is with us. God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to trust Him. God, because of Abraham's faith, that's how he was justified. So that shows you the power of trusting God. You may not have everything together, brethren, but if God sees that you trust Him, brethren, amen. I won't say anything else. So I'm just going to recap. We can conquer our fear by meditating on the Word, meditating on what our Heavenly Father says about us, because He has the final say. We sing that song, who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. So let's meditate on what He's saying. The second one was to speak the Word. Change your confession. Declare what God says about you. Declare what God says about you and says about your life. His Word goes forth, Isaiah 55, verse 11, and cannot return unto Him void. Amen. And the third one was to get closer to God, because perfect love casts out all fear, and those that know God will do mighty things. The fourth one was to make a choice, trust in God, and walk by faith. Amen? Walk by faith. Wait my faith. Walk by faith. Don't walk by what you see or how you feel. We have emotions. God created us with emotions, but that's not supposed to dictate the whole of your life. Chase fear out of your life with the Word. Chase it out of your life. Don't wear it as a cloak. Don't fellowship with it. Don't have Sunday dinner with it. Just chase out of your life. Just say, this thing is coming up against me, and I refuse to have a mind of fear. I refuse to have a mind of fear, because I know that my God's real, and I'm going to take His Word. What he says in this book, that's what I'm going to believe. I'm not going to watch the bank balance. I'm not going to watch nothing. I'm just going to watch this. This is what I'm going to watch. This is what I'm going to watch, and this is what I'm going to live by. Amen. This is what I'm going to live by. And I'm going to leave you with this final scripture. I hope I'm not going too fast. I believe it's John 14, verse 27. Is it, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. This is Jesus talking, not as the world gives. So the world gives a sense of peace, but it's not the same peace that God gives. Amen. Because they don't know the end from the beginning like He does. They don't know what's coming next in your life. Peace I leave with you. Peace, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen, Grandma. So Jesus wouldn't have said that if there weren't going to be times. If there weren't going to be times in our life where we fear. But He's telling us that He's given us His peace. He's given us His love. And His love casts out all fear. Amen. His love casts out all fear. His love casts out all fear, amen. So receive that, brethren. Be encouraged. I hope that you'll take that home and you're walking that this year, that you're walking it and you'll conquer your fear with those keys. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless the word that I've spoken, and that, Lord, people will be touched and people will be the conqueror, God, that you have called us to be. People will be the conqueror, God, that you've called us to be. People will be the conqueror that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 gonna. Hallelujah. 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 I'm gonna just open the altar for a time of prayer. If anybody would like prayer, you've heard the message, you'd like prayer about conquering fear, you may be going through something, there may be a struggle in your life, and you just like prayer. So the altar is open if anybody would like prayer. If not, I'm just going to ask the team to sing, "You Are My Strength," strength like no other. Amen. And His strength reaches to us. Amen. It reaches, it gets deep down in our lives, and it reaches.